You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Okay, I feel like some of you are holding out on me. Unless every single one of the listeners is married or so happy in your current relationship, then some of you are just lying.
Flat out lie. That's a lie.
Because not one of you has mentioned a dating app or website yet. Not one. I don't use them. I'm being perfectly honest. However, there are a hell of a lot of you that do. How come not one of you has mentioned that you're using a dating website?
Amy, first let me say
shut up.
Light up Amy's phone lines now. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227.
Girl, you know I miss you. I just want to kiss you. But I can't right now, so baby, kiss me through the phone. Kiss me through the phone. See you later on.
Simone Biles and Jonathan Owens, her husband actually met through a dating app. Isn't that interesting? And I'm not at all suggesting that athletes don't also have lives outside of what they do in competition. And
no, they just do it on the field and that's it.
Yeah,
no personal lives for them.
Meaning, like, because they're so famous for what they do, Simone Biles, it actually would make it harder to meet people, no doubt. And I'm like Z-level recognition, Z-level public figure. But I know it was hard for me how many times this happened. And I could say it now and not really care, but how many times it happened that a guy was just interested in Amy Lawrence and not Amy, or it happened more than once that a guy bet his friends that he couldn't get my number or ask me out on a date. And so I became very suspicious, as you can imagine, really cautious. And still, it didn't matter. Even guys who weren't necessarily doing it for a date or to win a bet still really couldn't see me as anything other than Amy Lawrence, especially if they were in the business. That was tough. Or guys who knew nothing about me found out who I was and then really didn't like the fact that they assumed that I made more money than they did, or that I had a public persona. And so, yeah, it became a major hindrance. All that to say...
Bums.
Right? All that to say that I can imagine it is so tough for recognizable athletes, both in the United States and globally, which is what Simone Biles is. That's her category. She's household name. How in the world does Simone Biles meet someone outside of, say, other athletes, right, that she's introduced to, or celebrities? So a lot of athletes, musicians, actors, celebrities, that type of thing, they maybe end up running in the same circles, but really what happens is they connect over their lifestyles, which are often lived in a fishbowl for at least a short period of time. Or like I say, they find someone who understands what it means to be a public figure and what it means to have the type of pressure. So think Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. Remember, he went to her concert and he, I think, tried to offer a friendship bracelet. That was initially what happened. And he got turned down. But he uses his uber popular podcast with his brother to tell the story. I don't think because he thought that it would ever turn into anything. But he tells the story on his podcast with his brother Jason. They laugh about it. You know, Jason kind of ribs him for getting, not rejected necessarily, but getting shut down.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Swing and a miss, so to speak. And what happens? But it gets to Taylor Swift. And
who knew Cupid was so big?
Travis Kelce is able to work that angle because they're both public figures. And then, and I'm not suggesting at all that their relationship isn't real. They obviously have to have some other connection besides just, hey, we know what it's like to perform on a stage with millions and millions of people watching. But certainly that is one way that people like actors, entertainers, musicians do connect, is because they're able to talk to someone else and they're able to receive some understanding and some empathy from someone else who also knows what it's like to try and succeed and fail in front of millions and millions of people. And so I thought it was really interesting that Simone Biles and Jonathan Owens met on a dating app. And I don't know if it was some kind of a special app. You know, there are dating services out there only for rich people, believe it or not. There are all kinds of matchmaking services that cater to those who can't just sign up for Tinder. Is that still a thing? I kind of feel like Tinder like died out. No, it's still a thing. What about Bumble? Is that still a thing? I've got friends who are on these different dating apps. Let me see if I can think of any other ones.
One big one that I think you're missing.
Match. Is Match still a thing?
Match has fallen off.
Oh, it's fallen off. Okay. I know eHarmony used to be a thing. It's probably
eHarmony. I haven't heard that.
Also fallen off.
Yeah.
Wait, don't tell me.
Yeah, sure.
Bumble, Bumble, Tinder. Although a lot of people do actually end up meeting on Twix. I don't know if that's really its number one function. Bumble, Match, Tinder. No idea.
Hinge. Hinge is the one.
Oh, Hinge.
You're
I've heard of Hinge.
Hinge is gaining steam around these.
No, why is it? What's special about Hinge?
I couldn't tell you.
You're unhinged.
Couldn't tell you.
You find people that are hinged, not unhinged.
I couldn't tell you what's so good about Hinge, I'll be honest.
Huh. Well, it's something else that you hear reports or rumors of in the Olympics is that in the Olympic Village, there are a lot of the athletes who are also looking for hookups, and they're using dating apps to find hookups while they're in Paris.
I've heard that the Olympic Village, you might as well just throw your key in a bowl and just kind of walk away, see what happens.
Right, for sure. There are all kinds of different rumors. I guess it's probably the type of story that people don't necessarily tell. If you're an Olympic athlete, that's not really the story you want to be telling people in interviews. But there are always kinds of rumors and speculation and stories that you hear kind of back channel.
What happens in Paris, stay in Paris.
I don't know about that. But anyway, Simone Biles and Jonathan Owens met on a dating app. But I don't know if it was a special dating app for people who would run in different circles. But he apparently was watching from home the team qualifying and the preliminary rounds. I had heard, though I guess it's not confirmed, that he had received permission to skip this early part of training camp and travel to see her in Paris. So I don't know whether or not or like when he's going, but I did hear that he was supposed to be traveling there and that he's just not there yet. But that's kind of neat that she can share that with someone now. So the Chicago Bears he was with the Packers, remember, now he's with the Bears, and he's taking a break from training camp because his wife, one of the most famous athletes on the planet, is competing. And it's a different kind of a life in the spotlight together. But certainly the fact that she's far more famous than he is, I wonder if that'll turn out to be a thing. Because even though Travis Kelce is famous and rich, Taylor Swift is far more famous and rich than he is. I don't know. He doesn't seem like the kind of guy who cares about that type of thing, actually. Seems pretty well adjusted. Good relationship with mom. Not intimidated by a strong woman.
Number one podcast. Pretty damn good at what he does the football field. I mean, I think Travis has a great mustache. Travis Kelce's got it going on.
Has all his own money, but definitely she trumps him in that arena if we're talking about fame.
Oh yeah, no doubt. But I think Travis is. I think you're right. I don't think Travis gives a care, and I think he, at the end of the day, he's getting his money, getting touchdowns, and going home to Taylor Swift. So at the end of the day, again, Travis Kelce is a winner.
I just read this because I Googled Jonathan Owens to see if I could find out his travel plans. They did a podcast called The Pivot, which is former NFL player Ryan Clark. So that's his podcast. And last year, when they did this podcast, Owens admitted he had no idea who she was.
That's cap. That's lies. Simone Biles, you don't know
who
Simone
is? Do you see my face?
Yeah.
My mouth is agape. He had no idea who she was. Wowzers.
It's like not knowing who the president is.
He was playing for here's the crazy part. He was playing for the Texans, and she's from Spring, Texas, which is not far from Houston. All right.
Things are getting worse, J.O.
the podcast goes on. Get this. Jonathan believed he was, quote, the catch in the relationship.
Yeah, I'm sure you were, J.O. I'm sure you were, Jonathan.
That's amazing. They met in 2020 on a dating app. Owens was playing for the Texans, had no idea she might be one of the most famous athletes ever to come out of Spring, Texas, which is not that far away. He didn't know who she was and thought he was the catch in the relationship. OMG. Welcome back to Earth, Jonathan Owens.
This is why dating men is impossible, and that's why I don't do it.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, they got a lot of like blowback on social media, which is to be expected, but also kind of sad. And so Simone Biles may be used to it. Jonathan Owens probably not so much, but he's learned to appreciate gymnastics, certainly has learned how to support his wife.
He better, man.
Yeah, and I'm still looking to see whether or not he's going to be there or is on his way. La, 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 la. If you find it, anyone, you can send it to me online at A Law Radio, just so I know whether or not and when he's going to be there. Yeah, let's see. Checking USA Today now, even while I talk to you. Yeah, here. Oh, this is according to USA Today. He will be at the Paris Olympics for the team and all-around finals. So that means he will be there coming up for Tuesday and also on Thursday. And so, quoting Biles, he will be here, yes, for just a short little time. And the Bears have given him permission to be absent for a couple days so he could go to Paris. So initially, he's watching, like the rest of us, on NBC, seeing her and the rest of Team USA qualify for the team final, which is Tuesday. And then she is, of course, qualified not just in the all-around final, but in individual event finals. But doesn't sound like he'll be able to stay there for all of her competitions. Man. It's a tough thing when you can't be there to support the people that you love, but it's kind of neat when you've got the watch parties in all different parts of the world, where this is specific to what I've seen with the American families, where in their hometowns, in some cases, there may be small hometowns, and you end up having a huge group of people, and they're all celebrating and they're kind of watching it unfold. Goodness, the nerves and the anxiety, but also the pride and the excitement for sure. All right. So online or on our Facebook page, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Coming up, we'll get into a little bit of, we'll talk Bears. We'll talk football and a little bit of Caleb Williams because he wants to play in the preseason. He wants to get out there and be part of the Hall of Fame game. And I appreciate that, though, as you can imagine, the Bears are also really anxious to protect their number one overall pick. And the thing is, you can't prevent him from getting injured. There's no possible way that you can mitigate all risk. Even putting him in a red jersey, which of course all the quarterbacks are during training camp and preseason, so they don't get hit by their own guys. So maybe that takes some of the risk out of it, but not all, because we know ACLs can be non-contact injuries. Goodness, Achilles can be non-contact injuries. So it doesn't matter. You can do everything within your power to try to protect your investment, protect an athlete, but still there could end up being some type of a freak injury. For instance, it kind of sucks that the Indianapolis Colts lost their top sack guy, their defensive end, Samson Ebukam. Ebukam. I have to practice these names. They don't roll off the tongue. But you should know, he's a major piece of that Colts defense. And he blew his Achilles and is now going to miss the season. And so that happened during a full squad part of practice on Sunday. We know that the Dallas Cowboys lost a major piece of their defense as well. So here you are, just days into training camp, and you're already dealing with season-ending injuries, whether it's Achilles or ACLs. Those are kind of the big ones, knee injuries and then the Achilles. So you can't really protect him completely, but I can understand why the Bears would be hesitant to put him out there where he's going to get hit. And here's the idea, is he's so early in his NFL career. These would be his first snaps. And he needs to learn how to protect himself before they're going to be fully comfortable. And maybe they won't be fully comfortable until a year goes by. And very often rookies are adjusting to speed. They're adjusting to having to process so many different pieces of information and all these different guys and where they might be. And obviously defenses and defensive coordinators are brilliant at disguising the looks that they're giving young QBs to try to make it as complicated as possible, even if the actual set isn't. I mean, think Andy Reid and the various formations that he runs, all the motion and the guys breaking every different direction to try to disguise whatever it is that Patrick Mahomes and his offense are doing at the line. Well, that's what defenses are going to try to do to all these rookie quarterbacks. Freak them out, confuse them as much as possible. And you are maybe a little nervous about putting your young, high-profile rookie quarterback out there until he is better equipped or more adept at protecting himself, throwing the ball away, sliding, going down with the ball, and not taking a nasty sack, right? So these are some of the ways that young quarterbacks learn how to protect themselves, or handing off, right? Checking down if that's what's required. So we'll hear from Caleb Williams. Also, Jaylen Waddle. I can't say his name without doing the touchdown celebration. In fact, you can hear it in my voice doing the waddle. He's talking about Tua's extension, and obviously they were teammates in college as well. Right? Waddle, they crossed paths. Tua and Waddle, they crossed at Alabama. Do you know what's going to be weird? Alabama with no Nick Saban. Every time I think about Alabama football, like, that's going to be odd. What's going to be weirder? Alabama with no Saban or Patriots with no Belichick? That's tough. Tough.
Yeah, you stumped me.
They're both going to be really, really jarring to see.
I mean, they've both just become such staples in our living rooms for Saturdays and Sundays.
Winners, champions. Oh. Right. They're cantankerous with the media.
Great word.
Isn't that a good word?
Good one.
It's a lot of acrimony there.
Oh.
I could go on. All right, so we'll do a little football coming up next. A little Caleb Williams while we're talking about the Bears. Just because it's preseason. It's almost August. The Hall of Fame game is Thursday. Hall of Fame weekend is coming up. I don't know how we got here, but we might as well embrace it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
It's After Hours on the Infinity Sports Network. Right now on USA Network, I've got a bunch of shooting that's taking place. Kind of interesting. Team competition, combined team competition. One dude just nailed the bullseye. I mean, got it. A 10.8. I have no idea, absolutely no idea what that means. But that's what's happening on USA Live. I don't know what happened to my volleyball. There are a lot of people in that arena, though, that are cheering for the shooting. Even though there's no way that the majority of them can see the small target and where the bullet ends up.
Not a chance.
Yeah, not a chance. It's called the 10-meter air pistol mixed team competition. And this is the gold medal match.
Turkey against Serbia. How about that?
Serbia actually is doing well in some events, just not at this point, in basketball, losing that first game against the U.S. men. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Coming up just about 40 minutes from now, our friend Christopher Clary, who you may know, if you remember that voice or that name, he generally joins us during tennis majors. So he was a longtime tennis insider. He used to work for the New York Post. New York Times, my fault. Now he is independent and has Substack and has a website. He's also written books about Roger Federer, Rafa Nadal. And so he's one of my favorite guests because he's so smart. I always learn something from him, but also a big fan of Paris. And so in addition to covering the French Open and then Wimbledon, he's also there at the Olympics and will join us. So at 5 o'clock Eastern time, 2 a.m. Pacific time. It's 11 o'clock in Paris. And so he's agreed to hop on. And every time we've had him, it's been international. I don't think I've ever, maybe one time I talked to him from the U.S. Open in New York. But for the most part, we have him on the air during international events and never had any issues with his phone. So I'm always really excited to talk to him and get the lowdown on a city that he loves so much and how it's handling these Olympic Games. So that's coming up top of the hour. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Yes, on Thursday, the Hall of Fame game. Yes. Preseason football begins this week. Now, we'll have another week then before we get to some of the other preseason action. But right now, there's a lot of talk about whether or not Caleb Williams will be out there and how much he will play during the preseason. And as the number one overall pick, of course, the Bears want to be cautious. They really don't have a backup plan. He's the plan. So what about the pros and cons, if you will, of the Bears having extra preseason action?
I always think there's more pros than cons in anything, especially for a young guy like myself. The reps are always paramount for anybody like myself. A young rookie, second year guy, third year guy. It's paramount. It's really important. And you know, we'll see about these preseason games coming up, how they play out.
So Caleb has gone through a week plus now of actual training camp practices, and always, and this is why I don't get too high or low in these things, always you've got the reporting of, oh no, there was an interception or five, there were penalties or seven. And the problem with that is, especially when you have a rookie quarterback, is that the defense already knows what you're doing. Right. The defense is part of these practices, too. I remember going through preseason when I played college hoops, and we were just so done with facing our own teammates on defense. It got to be the worst because they already knew what was about to happen and they would anticipate and jump the gun in some cases. So you really couldn't get a true sense of how the offensive set or the play would be successful or not because they already knew. There was no way to erase their knowledge of the play because they were running it themselves when they were on offense. So yeah, just after a while, you get to the point where you just are ready to see someone else, anyone else across the line from you. But he does say also he believes that he's on track for week number one. The Bears will open up against the Tennessee Titans. And so yeah, that's the idea, is that Caleb Williams will be on the field.
You know, getting ready for, you know, the season, preseason, and these, you know, these next practices. I'm very excited, still progressing, but we're towards the install right now for this portion, which is very exciting. To think that, you know, not too long ago I didn't know really anything about this offense, and now I know a lot more than I did then. So progressing, excited, and ready to go.
So he also went on to say that he's been working on his blitz looks, his blitz and coverage looks, and trying to adjust to protection, whether it's a run. Obviously, if you have multiple options in the offense, you want to figure out which one you think, based on the defensive set, will be the most successful, which one might catch them off guard, what coverage and what cover they're playing, or you're just trying to protect yourself. Again, that's so important. A lot of rookie quarterbacks, the biggest challenge for them is live to fight the next play. There is no need to get the extra half yard and put yourself at risk. Throw the ball away. You don't need to be, I think, a Baker Mayfield when he would just hang on to the ball and then chuck and duck. Well, yeah, they don't want you chucking and ducking when you are a number one overall pick, which, of course, Baker Mayfield was. Oh, someone just won the mixed team gold medal in the 10-meter air pistol because it's two of them. They just did a hog pile on the court.
I recognize that seal. That's the Serbians. I think Serbia just won gold.
Serbia. It's so funny. It's just the two of them, and they fell over as they were celebrating. It is Serbia. I can see it. Good for them. Congratulations, Serbia.
What was the event again?
10-meter air pistol competition. Gold medal team comp. Oh, mixed. So it's men and women. So they, a man and a woman, so they beat the Turkish team. 32 different events. I'm trying to decide how many of them I actually could explain some of the rules to you.
Oh, wait until breaking comes.
Breaking. How about rugby? Rugby is all the rage right now. The American women are doing really well. I think they're into the semifinals. Maybe it's the men too. Anyway, the rugby, I know a little bit about it, not much.
Yeah, I know a little bit of it too. My college roommate played club rugby at school. So, I mean, I know what a try is. I know when a try happens. I think it's 5 points. Some of the kicks are different points, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, rugby is quite a sport. My aunt, who's actually from Mexico, has never seen, I don't even think she's seen American football. She's only seen football, soccer. So I'm watching the Olympics and she's just watching rugby and she's like, wow, the sport is incredibly violent. I'm like, wait until you watch some American football.
It's funny that you say that because a lot of my friends who are either Cuban or in some cases Ecuadorian, even friends of mine that I met when I was in Africa, no clue what American football is, none. And they'll often laugh because we'll say football, they'll say,
you use your hands.
Yeah, football de Americano. And so, right, so they don't have any idea what that is, and they kind of laugh about it, that it seems so complicated. Well, yes, it definitely is complicated. Compared to your football, it's very complicated.
Amy, we've been watching football for what, 20, I'm 27 years old. We've been watching football for 21 years in my parents' house. Mom still has no idea what a first down is. Still doesn't understand how they're kicking the ball. Is that for 3 points or 1 point? At least she knows how many points it's worth.
See, but that's impressive. I'm impressed that she knows the point totals.
But she, why are they punting the ball away? Because it's fourth down, Ma. You don't get another shot. Again, same sport that we've been watching for 21 years.
You actually could take another shot.
Yeah, but is that advisable when you're backed up on your own 5-yard line in the first quarter?
You ask Mom. Ask Mom and see what happens. So I mentioned this too, and I want to make sure I get to it because as soon as the media had the opportunity, well, they raced to Patrick Mahomes to ask him about the reaction or get his reaction, gauge his reaction to both the Jordan Love and Tua Tagovailoa contracts, the ones that have now pushed him outside the top 10 when it comes to average annual value. So just to recap, between Trevor Lawrence and Jordan Love this offseason, and then Joe Burrow going back to the last offseason, right? That was last offseason, wasn't it? Or was it earlier this offseason? Gosh, the months all run together. It was last year. $55 million per year. Right? They're setting the tone. $55 million per year. Then you have Tua, who is at $53.1 million per year. Oh my gosh, they're about to start airing table tennis right now.
Yes!
This is intense.
Is that Lily Zhang?
I have no idea.
It's not Lily Zhang.
Okay, it's an American, though, and she's leading in her match. Is it called a match? Table tennis match? Table tennis game?
I think it's the same lingo as tennis.
I was going to say, I think we're going to go with the tennis lingo. So it's,
She's going up against a Puerto Rican too.
Yeah. The way they smash. I'm going to assume they're not those little plastic tennis balls or plastic.
No, I'm pretty sure they are.
Come on, they've got to be better quality than the ones that smash and break.
Well, yeah, I'm sure that these are different type of material, perhaps. But I mean, as some of these ping pong balls I saw, they have like a how fast it goes. Some of them going like 50 kilometers an hour.
Come on, wow. Okay, I have to turn away because it's a little bit mesmerizing, especially since they get so into it. They're down and they're in their defensive stance and they're crouching. Sometimes they just nip the corner. Oh, the Puerto Rican has pulled ahead or is getting close.
You think a pickleball is intense, man? And
a pickleball is not intense.
Oh, really?
No, it's an amalgamation. It is a hybrid. It's let's be fair. Was pickleball not developed by someone who didn't want to use the entire court to play tennis?
Correct.
Okay. I mean,
target audience, yours truly right here. I'm not trying to move around all that much.
nice. I love that you admit it.
Oh, absolutely.
Good for you. All right.
Stereotypical American.
We'll get to Patrick Mahomes as well as the quarterback competition taking place there in the AFC West. But yeah, it's kind of fun to drop in Football Day Americano, even as we're watching some of these world events that in the United States are not quite as prominent.
Yeah,
although, how many people have a table tennis or, as we call it,
ping pong
board or table in their backyards, in their basements? We love it. We just don't do it professionally as much here in our nation.
I did see that it's among one of the five Olympic sports that the Americans still haven't medaled in.
Ever?
Ever.
Wow. So there's 32 Olympic events in the Summer Games, 32 different sports.
I heard that on Gold Zone this afternoon.
Gold Zone?
Yeah, on Peacock. They have
Wait, was it voiced by Al Michaels?
No. Scott Hansen is one of the voices though. So he basically does Red Zone only for Olympic stuff.
Huh.
Oh yeah.
It's like Olympics on speed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Andrew Siciliano also gets a rotation in there as well.
One of my Syracuse classmates. Okay, so I'm going to let you all convene over table tennis, and I'm going to go do my USA Men's Gymnastics Sports Minute, and then we'll talk about Patrick Mahomes. And also, top of the hour, Christopher Clary joining us from Paris. I mean, the way they twist their bodies and the paddles, and they get down, and their eyes are level with the table. It's intense. It's After Hours on our Facebook page or at A-Law Radio on Twix. Here's our latest sports update. It's fascinating. And here's Marco Belletti.
McKinnon is in at running back. First down and goal to go. Play action fake. Right side throw. Touchdown! Kansas City! McCole Hardman! McCole Hardman with the catch on the right side! A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game! 25-22!
Here's Amy Lawrence.
Oh man, remember that? I might need to go back and watch Super Bowl 57. One of the greatest that I have ever seen. Loved it. In Vegas, of course, and the Chiefs win again, but this one in overtime. Second ever Super Bowl to require overtime. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. If you were with us last night, you know that I was telling the story of Tua meeting with the fans, or greeting fans, I should say, right after he signs on the dotted line for his brand new contract. 4 years, $212.4 million. And he grabs the megaphone and starts chanting and yelling, "Show me the money!" Or something along those lines. "They showed me the money!" And then says thank you to the fans.
From what movie?
Jerry Maguire. It was funny because I went back to Facebook on Monday during the day and realized that people had sent me that movie title, because I was having a hard time coming up with it last night. And they had obviously been listening to the podcast and then thought that I might still be in peril and not able to remember. Anyway, thank you for that. Thank you for coming to my rescue. So with Tua using that line from Jerry Maguire, well, if there's anybody out there who could ask for his team to show me the money, it would be Patrick Mahomes. So we're just talking about it before our last break. Between the Jordan Love and the Tua contracts, the Jared Goff contract, the Kirk Cousins contract with the Atlanta Falcons, who actually he now makes the same amount of money as Patrick Mahomes does per year.
You like that?
I assume that they will like that if you could deliver maybe one of the Super Bowls that Mahomes and the Chiefs have in the last 4 years. So Patrick Mahomes is now outside the top 10. He makes only, I'm using my air quotations, $45 million per year. So you remember going back, he signed, this is in 2020, a 10-year contract for $450 million. Now it was restructured last season. And so the money, there's a little more money in the back end, the second half of the contract. So he will get a raise. But the fact is, there are still a bunch of quarterbacks who have far fewer accomplishments who are making more money than he does. Now, Patrick is similar to a Tom Brady approach, right? Where he cares far more about winning than he does about being the highest paid. Think about Steph Curry, Draymond Green. These guys, they care more about winning than about being the highest paid in any position. I don't think Klay Thompson wanted to be the highest paid, but he definitely wanted some more money individually. To each his own. Every athlete, it's his prerogative. If you would rather go to a different franchise and make money than to be with a winner, a proven winner, why not? Your window is what, 5 years, 10 years, maybe if you're really good at your job. The average NFL player doesn't last even 5 years in the league. The average NFL career is not even five seasons. Same thing in the NBA. And so I would understand many individual athletes are trying to make as much money as possible, and they will also give you the line of, oh, we want to continue to raise the bar. We want to do this for the next quarterback to come along, right? Because you continue to raise the bar. If you're good at your job, well, you continue to reset the market, so to speak.
That's why some people in NBA circles were mad at Jalen Brunson for taking that team-friendly extension.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't setting the bar for the next point guard.
Right, and that's why in Major League Baseball, there is also that type of anger, too, for, say, starting pitchers, top-flight starting pitchers, that don't hold out for the most money or take the contract, the richest contract that's offered to them. Because, according to the Players Union, the Players Association, and Scott Boras is right in the middle of all of this, you should be taking the fattest contract. It should be the number one factor, regardless of where you want to live or who you want to play for. I would never let an agent tell me what deal to take. No way. But it depends on the individual, right? If what's most important to you is money, then maybe it causes the other factors to become not so important. But in the case of Patrick Mahomes, he's made it very clear. Now, it's not like he's cheap, but he's made it very clear that what he cares most about is winning, and they'd rather have more rings and someday challenge Tom Brady in that greatest of all time category instead of worrying about whether or not he was ever the highest paid. And let's be fair, Joe Burrow's only going to be the highest paid for so long. Well, Joe, Trevor, and Jordan Love, which is crazy considering he's got one full season under his belt.
I knew this would happen as well, because when people gave when the Giants gave Daniel Jones that contract, people were thinking, oh, that's way too much money. Market's going to move. Market always moves.
Well, he wasn't the highest paid.
Well, he wasn't the highest paid, but people thought that it was certainly an overpay. Some people might think that Jordan Love, after one season, is an overpay.
Although the Packers have had him for a few years, so it's a little bit different. And he's not been injured like Daniel Jones has. So there's another piece of that. But I understand what you're saying. So this
market keeps moving.
Right, it does. It continues to move and will. So Dak Prescott is going to be one of the next ones up.
Perfect point. Yep.
Do the Cowboys pay him $55 million per year? They might, if that's what it takes to keep him. We don't have the audio from Patrick. We looked for it, but he did get quoted in USA Today. He says, it's awesome for the game of football. It's awesome for the quarterback position, but I think all positions. I know every time a contract comes up, everybody looks at my average per year and everything like that. I'm doing pretty well myself, not to mention he has a ton of endorsements. For me, it's just about going out there, trying to win football games, trying to make money for my family at the end of the day. I feel like I'm doing a great job of that. Yeah, so he is not in any way concerned about being the highest paid. What he wants to be labeled is the best, not the most expensive. And I appreciate that about him. There is certainly a great chance that the Chiefs could once again be back in a Super Bowl. And that's clearly, clearly what he wants his legacy to be. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can find me online at A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page. Now, also in the AFC West, we're seeing all kinds of quarterback turnover. I don't know who ends up starting for the Raiders. I mean, right now, it's kind of an open door, except that there is talk. What do you think? Do you think that it will end up being their new free agent? He wears jorts. Not that that affects his ability to play football. He clearly doesn't wear jorts.
John Cena wears jorts, too.
When he's on the field. John Cena wears jorts? I actually did not know that.
I'm pretty sure he does. I don't watch WWE.
Could it end up being Gardner Minshew, though? If it's Gardner Minshew as opposed to Aiden O'Connell, I mean, the point is it's not Patrick Mahomes, and you're starting fresh with another quarterback, and you've got a relatively new head coach in Antonio Pierce. So there's a new combination there. Jim Harbaugh is going to make a difference with Justin Herbert. We know that with the Chargers. But how about with Sean Payton and now the Broncos? They have Zach Wilson, but they also have Bo Nix. And he's more of a project. He was drafted outside the top 10. But how close is he to understanding the playbook and to getting to the point where he knows the lingo?
From a standpoint of the playbook and the verbiage and understanding, the operation and the process that goes within calling a play and getting to the line scrimmage and making sure everybody's ready to make the play work.
I just can't imagine if Zach Wilson, after multiple opportunities with the Jets, if he ends up starting for the Broncos, like what does that say about Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos?
Comfortable with like a lot of the concepts, right? I think a lot of teams run, you know, similar concepts, all about how you call them. But the operation's still learning every single day. You know, exactly where guys are lining up, who I'm miking, who I'm moving, you know, getting to the other play. I think that can always just keep practicing and getting more comfortable with it. But, you know, I think good enough to be able to function without any issues out there. But, of course, you want to just have it down like the back of your hand.
Someone please stick a fork in my eye.
Oh, my God.
Peyton Manning started for the Broncos in Super Bowl 50. And then he rode off into the sunset, but not very far because he's still everywhere, including the Olympics. Right? They have had, similar to what happened when John Elway retired, they have had a seemingly revolving door of quarterbacks, and it's still a never-ending search. I don't think it's Zach Wilson or Bo Nix, but what do I know? The search continues. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.